I remember one fellow one time, actually the first one, I needed help way back 1952 in meetings, because the Lord told me, if you do go to churches, go to put on your own meetings and so on and so forth. And so we'd just take up on off, and well, I can't just do all of it. So this man would take care of all these things, sort of emcee them, be the manager of the meeting, see. But I tell you, that fellow would lie awake at night to think up some kind of a plan, and he'd get some fellow minister or somebody to invest in where he could make some money. He asked me one night, you know, we had a little apartment like in a motel, you know, had two bedrooms, the kitchen, all that, you know. And he, way in the nighttime, he said, "Brother Kenneth, you awake?" Well, I'd been rightly praying, meditating. Yeah, I said, "I'm awake." He said, "You reckon so-and-so mentioned certain pastors got any money?" Well, I knew this pastor. I knew he did have some money. But I didn't tell him. I said, "He might." He said, "Reckon he'd be interested in investing. He had a certain project." I mean, that one go kerfump, then he'd get another project. I know as a pastor now, I had to let him go. I just flat had to let him go. And he got mad about that. I said, "I can't. There's two things I can't go along with. One of them is this, always getting somebody, you know, to invest in something. Money, 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 money." "Well, you need me." I said, "I need somebody." And he did a good job, all right. In fact, we had this agreement with the pastor. See, we had a daily radio program advertising the meeting, newspaper advertisements, auditorium, which of course didn't cost anything. We had our own eats and our own motel or hotel bill. And then I had the agreement that after the expenses are met, we'll just divide 50-50 what else comes in. We won't make any pulls for money. Well, he got up there one night and said, "Now, our radio bill for this week is so much," and he got enough money to pay it for 2 weeks. We was acting there three. And then our newspaper ad, and it had big ads in the paper, is so much. He got that. And then our entertainment while we're here, hotel, motel, each and all that, traveling expense, so got that. He said, "Boy, I'll tell you, we can really make it here." I said, "What do you mean?" Well, he said, "This don't tell them every need's met. Just go ahead and make like, because they really respond. You get up and say this, you know, and we can just raise this money." I said, "No, we can't. That's not our deal. We're going to stay with it." And we made a deal with this pastor here. Well, he said, "You're not out there," because I'd stay back and pray and just come out by the time they'd turn it to me. "And I'll just go ahead and do what I want to do." I said, "Yeah, but I got a speaker back there where I am. And when you get up going on with all that, I'm coming right out on the platform and say he's lying about it. It's not so. Every need's already met." Well, he said, "You're a fool. Boy, we could really hit it. We could really get rich here almost. Boy, you're wrong." No, I said, "I'm not wrong. I'm right. Bible said, provide things honest in the sight of all men." Amen. And I had to let him go. You can understand that. And then he said, "You'll never make it." Well, you see, I didn't make it. Poor me, bless my heart. Never heard about him. Haven't heard about it in years, so I don't know. I don't know about it. Be careful about money. Another minister, bless his heart. Now, he's on the field holding meetings and teaching. He's a good teacher, good preacher. Do either one of them. Very good, very good. But then he got into the oil business. And in the process of time, there were certain sections of the country he couldn't go to. I mean, some men there didn't mind being combative. "Oh, if he comes here, we're going to whip him. Because he lied to us." And you see, he made big money off of the deal. And everybody lost all of theirs. This other fellow I was telling about with me, now he also pastored. He had an associate pastor that when took care of everything when he was with me in meetings. But I remember I preached in his church, and one poor old widow lady said, "Brother Hagin, I had $6,000. Now this is back in the 50s, $6,000, a lot of money then. But that's all I had. I've lost it all. I trusted him because he's pastor. But see, he used his office to extort money. Amen. Now again, you need, if God called you to preach, preach. Now you might have to do some things on the side to begin with. I preached for another pastor, bless his heart. He was one of these antique, what do you call them? Freaks. Fanatic, really. He went in for antiques. You go down in the basement of the church and stood a Sunday school room. There were Sunday school rooms. He got it full of antiques. He loves antiques more than he does the people. I talked to him a little bit about it. Then he changed churches. I went and held him a meeting in this other church, and he's right back in that antique business. He's spending more time with antiques. I don't know about you, and of course you may have been, I'll go over with you, you may be a lover of antiques. If you are, that's all right with me. But I don't care a hoot about antiques. Amen. Don't get mad at me about it. It's all right. But don't antique yourself out of the ministry. I noticed that fellow's the last church, as far as I know, that he ever pastored. And he's still just a comparatively young man. He went into the antique business. If God called you to preach, preach. If God called you to the ministry, don't have anything else in mind except doing what God said do. I don't understand a lot of people nowadays. One fellow said, well, I can preach if I want to. If I don't want to, well, I can do something else. I doubt he's called of God.